الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما فصل تالوت بالجنود قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر فمن شرب منه فليس مني ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده فشربوا منه إلا قليلا منهم فلما جاوزه هو والذين آمنوا معه قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فلما فصل تالوت بالجنود when تالوت علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام went forth with his army جنود with his armies قال ان اللہ مبتلیکم بنہر he said to his people Allah is going to test you with a river the river Jordan now it's very important everybody knows it this was in between and they crossed river Jordan فمن شرب منه فليس مني whosoever will drink from that river he is not from me he is not our companion ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني and whosoever doesn't drink from the water of that river he is from me he is my companion إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده except those who take some water in the hand in the hollow of the hand and take it That is only permissible, but not drinking. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُ All of them merely drank from the water of the river, except only a few from themselves. فَلَمَّا جَعْبَدَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ When they had crossed the river, himself, that is Hazrat Talut, and people who believed with him, قَالُوا, they said, لا طاقت لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده They said, we don't have the strength today to face Goliath, Jalut, وجنوده and his armies. They are very strong. They were scared. قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله Those people from among them who had the conviction that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, they said to them, كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة how often a small party has overcome a large party by Allah's will by Allah's permission والله مع الصابرين and Allah is with those who show patience and perseverance now please try to understand the background why the people were put to this test actually before any confrontation before any armed conflict The commander of the army must know the condition of the people, of the army, of the soldiers, their morale, their discipline, listening and obeying. These things also mean a lot. Not only physical number, physical strength, not only the arms, but the state of morale of the people. And then you know the discipline, that if a command is given, if order is given, whether it is obeyed or not, whether the people have necessary self-control or not. So that was a test to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his appointed king, he put this army to test. And most of them failed. You have the example in the consultation with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He held that meeting of consultation before Badr also. He put a question, we shall read in Surah Al-Anfal. That now there is a caravan coming from the north with lot of wealth, merchandise, and an army is coming from the south. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will give us victory over one of them. Which way should we proceed? Why this question? The same purpose, to see the morale of the people. Some of them said we should go towards the caravan. You shall have great wealth. Only a few guards are there with the caravan. It will be easy to kill them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended something else. He wanted that there should be a direct confrontation between the Quraysh and the Muslims. So this is actually the example. But most of the people at that consultation, they said, "O Prophet, what you have in your mind, you proceed in that direction. Why are you asking us? You have to make the decision. Which way you go, we are with you." So that is actually, the same thing is happening here. Before this, this is the battle of Badr of the former Muslim Ummah. Please keep this point in mind. وَلَمَّا بَرَغُوا لَجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودَهِ And when they lined against the armies of Jalut, they said, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Now they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Muslims, now you pray this. This is the prayer being taught to you before Badr. You must learn the prayer. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا O our Lord, pour out perseverance on us. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا Make our feet firm. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ And help us against this nation, these people who are kuffar, who are unbelieving. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ They routed them with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَتَلَ دَعُودُ جَالُوتَ And Dawood killed Jalut. There is a long story. Dawood was not in the army of Talut. He was a shepherd with his flock of sheep, etc. But he incidentally came at the scene of that battle. What was happening. And he saw that from this army of Talut, nobody is taking the courage to go and confront Jalut. He was calling, send someone who can fight me. That was the usual method of battles in those days. Personal wrestling. Personal combat. But nobody dared going forward than Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He himself volunteered him and he killed Jalut. And that way Dawood became important. And Saul or Talut gave him his daughter in marriage. And he became closely related to Talut. And then after Talut he became the king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the prophethood and the knowledge and the wisdom also. So he had the physical strength. As much physical strength as he could dare confront Jalut and kill Jalut. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَقَتَلَ دَعْبُودُ جَالُوتَ In the same way, in the battle of Ahzab, there is one very brave person, and he was from the Kuffar, Amr ibn Abd Wadd. It was said about him that nobody can confront him, Abd Wadd. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came forward, and he killed him and slayed him. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَقَتَلَ دَعْبُودِ جَالُوتَ وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Dawood the kingdom, was wisdom, وَعَلَّمَهُ بِمَّا يَشَاءُ And he taught him whatever he liked. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ And had it not been that Allah ta'ala has been removing one people by another, had it not been so, لَفَتَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ The whole of the earth would have corrupted. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bountiful to the world. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ These are the signs of Allah, ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are reciting them to you. Now this actually, this is the saying of the angels. The angel has brought this ayat and he is saying now, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ This is actually the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ Which are, we are reciting unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with haq, with truth. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And verily, surely, definitely, you are from among the messengers of Allah. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. These are the messengers of Allah. فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. We have raised some of them over the others. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. From among them there was one with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked and spoke directly. That is Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. With whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke many a times on the Mount of Tur. With whom man kallama Allah wa rafa'a ba'dahum darajat. And he raised some of them in degrees, in different various forms. Wa ataina Isa ibn Maryam al-bayyinat. And he gave Isa, Jesus, son of Mary, Maryam alayhim as-salam, al-bayyinat, very clear signs, very big miracles, وَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And we helped him, supported him with the Holy Spirit, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And had Allah decreed, desired or willed, then those people who were after them would not have quarreled with each other. Followers of the Prophet, different Prophets, quarreling with each other. The biggest enmity today is between the Muslims and the Jews. Although if you take into consideration all the aspects, they should be the closest communities on the surface of the world. We believe in Torah. We believe in Moses. We believe in Jesus. These three religions should be very close to each other. But the most bitter, and then these Jews, the practicing Jews, they are the closest in culture to the Muslims. The same beards, the same covering of the heads, although now it has reduced in size. But you know, there is evidence. The same law, the same things. Swine, haram, forbidden. They don't eat it. The kosher meat. It must be halal. It must be the Mia. All these things, you know, closest. Law of Moses, law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closest to each other throughout the world. But the enmity, the most bitter enmity. In the same way, Jesus, he was a Jew himself. He was born of Mary. Who was she? She was from Israel. The same progeny. The most bitter enmity has been throughout these 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years, between the Christians and the Jews. You read the history. How much persecuted the Jews have been at the hands of the Christians. First of all, the Christians were persecuted at the hands of the Jews, and then the Jews were persecuted at the hands of the Christians. After Emperor Constantine, he embraced Christianity. He became a Christian. Now Christianity was the state religion of a very big empire, the Roman Empire. And now there was tough time for the Jews throughout the Roman Empire. So this has been the case. The closest people regarding the prophets, the same progeny of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, but the followers are bitter enemies of each other. The same prophets from the progeny of Ibrahim, Ibrahim and his son Ismail and in his progeny Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muslims believe in him. But the bitterest enemy. لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Had Allah wished so, people after them would not have quarreled and fought each other. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. After that, the clear signs and teachings had come to them. وَلَكِنِ اخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ. But they differed. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ. From among them are those who came to believe, who had the faith. فَمِنْهُمْ, from among them also are those مَنْ كَفَرَ, who denied, who belied. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. Had Allah will show, they would not have quarreled or fought each other. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But Allah does what He decrees, what He wills, what He pleases. He has created this world, He has given the option. this اختلاف, this difference will be there. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه. I told you the two strands of jihad في سبيل الله. Infaq again. These two sections were for qital. But that qital was from the past history. The battle between Jalut and Talut. But in between the lines, it was actually a preparation, mental preparation of the Muslims for the coming battle of Badr. History was going to repeat very soon. And from Badr was going to start the glorious period of the Islamic history, of the Muslim history. Muslims suddenly became a very big power to reckon with. They defeated Quraysh. You can't imagine the effect over the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. Quraysh defeated at the hands of Muhammad and his followers. A very small number, nearly unarmed. They defeated the Quraysh, the mightiest force in the whole Arabian Peninsula. So actually that was very decisive. That is why it has been called in the Quran, Yawm al-Furqan, the differentiating day. It was a dividing day. Tables were turned after Badr. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا إذا حصل قتال there must be infaq also side by side. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم. Oh you who profess to believe, expend from whatever we have given you, whatever we have provided you. من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة. Before that day comes, that is the day of judgment, when there shall be no bargaining, no friendship, no intercession whatsoever. This is a very categorical ayah. The import of this ayah is the same as of two ayahs that we have already read before. وَتَّقُوا يَوْمَ اللَّهَ تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. In the beginning of the sixth section, and then in the beginning of the 15th section, here again we find, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Muslims. Just as he addressed to Jews were also, وَسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, in the end of the fifth section. And the Muslims were also addressed with the same words, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, in the beginning of the 19th section. In the same way, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ, before that day comes, then there will be no bargaining, no trading, no friendship, no intercession. وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, and those who deny, they are the wrongdoers, they are the unjust people, they are the evil people. الله لا إله إلا هو, now comes آيات الكرسي, the greatest ayah of the Quran. And there are clear ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidatu ayatil Quran. This ayah, a very big ayah, a very long ayah, is the chief of the, all the ayat of the Quran. And this is a very big prayer of Tawheed. Tawheed is sifati. All the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the basic attributes. Tawheed of the attributes. In the description and narration of the Tawheed of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the most profound ayah of the Quran. Allah la ilaha illa hu. Allah is He. That there is no ilah, no God beside Him. Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum. He is ever living, self-sustaining, and He is the sustainer of all the existence. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither slumber nor sleep can seize Him. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To Him belongs everything that is in the skies and heavens and that is on the earth. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is He who can dare intercede before Him except after his permission. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is before them all and what is after them and what is behind them. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. And they cannot encompass anything from his knowledge. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Except what he himself pleases to give. Nobody, no creator, no paramount, no messenger, no prophet, no angel. None can have any knowledge except the knowledge that has been given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. We have read that ayah, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana. All the angels have said, glory be to you. We don't have any except the knowledge that you give to us. There's no knowledge except the knowledge that Allah gives to anybody. لا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. His throne or his kingdom, translated in two ways. His throne or his kingdom extends over all the skies and heavens and over whole of the earth. ولا يؤوده حفظهما. And he is never fatigued by guarding both of them, the skies and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And he is the high, al-ali. And he is the mighty, al-azim. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no compulsion in religion or in deen. What does it mean? No person will be compelled to embrace Islam. No person has ever been compelled to accept Islam. But as regards the system, if the Muslims have power, they will never tolerate any unjust system and social order to prevail. There we shall use force. Individuals, a different case. Anybody, if he wants to remain a Hindu, remain a Hindu. You don't want to remain a Christian, you remain a Christian. But the system will be changed. The rule will be of Allah. Hatta yawm al-jizyah al-yadi wa hum saghirun. You can remain a Hindu, a Christian, a Buddhist. Or whosoever you may be, you can remain. But you will have to submit to the Islamic State, to the Khilafah. And there you will have to pay the taxes, the jizya. That is the position. But individually you will not be compelled to change your religion. That is actually the position of Islam. It is usually misunderstood. As far as the system is concerned, the collective system, the social order, that is we have power and we want to attain power to change it. That is called revolution. We are working for Islamic revolution to establish the system of Khilafah. Sovereignty to Allah and Khilafah for the Muslims. That will be the system. لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغيب. The right path has become distinct from the wrong path. فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله. So whoever disowns طاغوت, what is طاغوت? Everything which is rebellious against Allah. Is ta'ud. Every institution which doesn't accept divine sovereignty and authority is ta'ud. The non-Islamic state is the biggest ta'ud on earth. Ta'ud are not only individuals, the systems are ta'ud. Tawa, what does it mean? When you have transgressed your limits, you are ta'vi. Tawa means to go beyond the limits. You must be a bondman to Allah. You should be a servant to Allah. You must obey Allah. You were created for His ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. If instead of being servant of Allah, you become master. I am the ruler. I have the sovereignty. You are in revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are ta'ud. So you have to deny ta'ud first. And then you should have faith in Allah. You have to say La ilaha first and then in Allah. Denial is first. Affirmation comes after that. The same is the thing here. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ Whosoever denies, declares that he is bari from this taghut, and then he believes in Allah. فَقَدْ اِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى So he has grasped in his hand a firm handhold. لَنْ شِسَابَ لَهَا which will never give way. والله سميع عليم and Allah is all listening, all knowing. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. Allah is the protector and helper and guardian. Wali is a very profound word of Arabic. You can't translate it, can't give its connotation in one word in English. Allah is the protector and the guardian and the supporter of those who have real faith. يُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ مِنَ النُّورِ He keeps them taking out from various shades of darkness into light. Zulumat always you will find in Quran in plural. There are different shades of darkness. There is shirk, there is kufr, there is nifaq, there is ilhad. So many shades, different shades of darkness. Light is one. And darkness has different shades. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keeps bringing them out from the shades of the darkness into light. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ As for those who disbelieve, their supporters are the ta'ud. They are the brothers and supporters. There is a mutual support. They are supporting ta'ud and ta'ud is helping them. يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ And these ta'ud, they keep on taking them away from light into different shades of darkness. This is a process going on side by side. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allahumma rabbana ij'alna minhum. Allahumma rabbana ij'alna minhum. May Allah include us in these people whose wali is Allah himself. And he takes them out from these different shades of darkness into light. والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا منهم أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون They are the people of fire and they will remain in that forever. ألم ترى إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه Again the same word ألم ترى Did you never ponder about the person الذي حاج إبراهيم Who argued with Ibrahim, fi rabbihi about his Lord, his Rabb. Who is your Rabb? Now this person is Namrud, the king of Iraq, at the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Namrud was also a titan, just as Sharon, Faraina, the kings of Mishra, of Egypt, they were Faraina, the kings of Babylonia, which we now call Iraq, They were Namarida. So actually Namrud and Fir'aun, they are not names, they are titles. Just as Fir'aun, Namrud. أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ So as we say, Fir'aun of Moses. So Namrud of Ibrahim, of the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Hazrat Ibrahim was presented in the court of the king. There this dialogue went on. أَنْعَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ He was arguing about God, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabb of Ibrahim, only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gave him the kingship. He became arrogant. He himself claimed to be God. I am the authority. Just as the Fir'aun of Egypt had said, Ana Rabbukum al-Ala, Alaysalim al-Kumisr, it's not for me the kingdom of Egypt. وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ كَلِمِي مِنْ تَحْتِي All this irrigation system is under my control. I will allow water to only those whom I please. It is all in my head, under me. In the same way, he was the master of his country. إِسْقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ When Ibrahim said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ My Lord is He who gives life and puts death.
قال انا وحي وامید.
تو اس نے بڑھایا دیس پاور پوائنٹ کو. And the tradition goes that he fetched and called two people who had been condemned. They were in the prison. Death sentence had been passed on them. Called them in the court. The one he set free, I have given him life. The other he, instantly, he ordered to be slain, killed. And now he was I had the authority. Now Hazrat Ibrahim said, Qala Ibrahim, Fa'in Allah Yati bi Shamsin al Mashriq. My God, my Allah, I believe in that God, in that Allah, who makes the sun rise from the east. Fatiha min al-Maghrib. If you claim to be God, if you claim to have authority, now just you order the sun to rise from the west. فَبُهِكَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. At this, that kafir remained confounded. He couldn't say anything. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah doesn't give guidance to such evildoers, such unjust people. How can that be marra ala qariyatin? This is another incident, and most probably it concerns also the history of the Jews, the Bani Israel. When Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem in the late 7th century before Jesus, B.C., before Christ, he killed about 600,000 Jews, and the rest of 600,000, he took them to Babylonia in captivity. They remained there, some for 100 years, some for 150 years. That's the worst period of Jewish history, era of days of captivity in Babylonia. Jerusalem was ruined, absolutely ruined. Not a single soul living, not a single wall, not two bricks together. Such was the ruination of the city. Just imagine how big a city it was. It was founded by Solomon, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. At the height of the glory and splendor of Bani Israel, that was the town. And Hazrat Sulaiman had the help of the jinn also in construction. He constructed the Solomon's temple. And then this was raised to the ground. Now two bricks were intact. Not a single soul was there. And then thereby passed the Prophet Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam. He wondered at that scene, how can this city again be revived? How can Allah revive this city? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to death, kept him there for 100 years in that death condition, then revived him. And then, you know, this is the matter. Then Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to Babylonia. And then, you know, he started his call. Repent. Make tawbah towards Allah. And due to his call and his mission, there was the spiritual revival of Bani Israel. And then they again were given another period of glory during their history. And that is called the Maccabi power. The Maccabi Sultanate. That was the second rise that they had during their history. Anyhow, about this incident now, Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, I feel it personally that this, although the name has not been given here, only one city and a person, this seems to me, I'm pretty sure that this is the case of Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam. Aw kallazi marra ala qaryatin. Or have you ever considered the case of that person who passed by a town, وَهِيَ خَابِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. And that town had fallen down upon its roof. All was demolished. قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He said, how, said Allah, give this town again life after it has been dead, so badly dead, so deeply ruined. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. So Allah put him to death for 100 years. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ. Then Allah again brought him to life, raised him alive. قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتَ. Allah asked him, how long have you been here? Do you have any idea? Oh, Uzair, Supposedly, she was Uzair alayhi salatu was salam. Oh, Uzair, do you have any idea how long have you been here? قَالَ لَبِسْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. He said, I have been here for one day, or maybe a part of the day. Just I had a nap. Maybe a full day has passed, or maybe a part of it. قَالَ بَلْ لَبِسْتُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah said, no. You have been here in this condition for 100 years. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ. Now see to your food that you had with you. وَشَرَابِكَ. And the drinks that you had. لَمْ يَتَفَلَّ. They have not spoiled. I have kept them as fresh as they were before 100 years. This is my authority. I can do it. This is in my power. I am all powerful. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. And now on the other hand, you see, just look to your donkey. And that had died, and all flesh has gone, and there were only few bones scattered and nothing else. 100 years! So all those physical phenomena had happened to that donkey, but nothing had happened to the food. Manzulillahi marika walinajalaka ayatan lillahi. And we want to make you a sign for the people. And it's very clear, when he had return to the people, to Bani Israel, they must have been astonished. This person, he was dead long before. He had no news of him. Therefore, he has come now. He must have told this story. So it would have been, I think, very big sign for Allah to revive us also. If he could do this to an individual, he could do this, you can do this to a community, to a nation. وَلَنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَانْظُرْ إِلَى الطَّعَامِ. Well, with an exam, now see, look to the bones of your donkey, كَيْفَدُنْ شَيْدُهَا. How we raise them up, join them together, raise them up as a skeleton. ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا. And then we clothe them with flesh, with muscles. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ. When everything became absolutely clear to him, قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Then he said and proclaimed, now I fully know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful and he can do anything that he likes. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. And just recall the time when Ibrahim said to his Lord, O Lord, let me see, show me how you will revive the dead. How will you raise the dead again to life? قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah asked, do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَىٰ. He said, why not? I believe. I have the faith. وَلَكِنَّ يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But I want that I should have the conviction, deepest conviction. My heart should be absolutely at rest. There shouldn't be an iota of doubt in me. So because I want that total and absolute conviction, that is why I have requested you to show to me. قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take 4 birds, فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ. Tame them to incline to you. Tame them so that when you call them, they respond to you, they come to you. ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا. Now, the details are not here. The details are, which are omitted. Now, kill them, slaughter them, and divide their body into parts, and then part of every bird, some parts of mix them and keep them on different hills. ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا. ثُمَّ دُعُوهُنَّ. Then you call them. The way which you had made them accustomed to respond. يَعْتُونَ تَسْعَيَا. You will see that they will be coming to you running. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And you should know and keep it in mind. And you should be convinced that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all-powerful, and he has the all-total wisdom also. Now come 2 sections. And they are regarding infaq fi sabilillah. How balanced? Full 2 sections were there regarding the fighting for the cause of Allah. although it was related to the past history of Bani Israel. Scattered ayat we have found at many places about Qital. Scattered ayat have been mentioned and have appeared at many places about Infaq. But full two sections about Qital, we have already read. Now full two sections about Infaq. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ The likeness of those who have spent their wealth and money in the way of Allah. Now this should be very clear, what does it mean in the way of Allah? Infaq fi sabil Allah has a definite connotation. There is another word, sadaqah. Sadaqah is charity. Charity is basically for the poor, the needy, the beggar. This is sadaqah. Infaq fi sabil Allah is actually jihad fi sabil Allah bil mal. For the cause of Allah. For the cause of Allah. Cause of Allah is that His deen should be supreme. As the Christians pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On this earth also, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be fulfilled. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be enforced. This is the cause of Allah. And if you spend your money and your wealth for this purpose, this is infaq fi sabil Allah. So actually, you keep it in mind. Sadaqah, infaq, itai mal, zakat, these are different terms. And every term has a definite connotation of its own. Although they can be interchanged, they can be used for another place. Then qarz hasana, man alladhi yuqridu Allah qarzan hasana. Who is that person who can dare give Allah loan, goodly loan? And these two terms, the loan to Allah, because when you are spending for the deen of Allah, it's the loan, personal loan to Allah. When you are spending your wealth for establishing the deen of Allah, it's a infaq fi sabil Allah. It's a part of jihad. Jihad fi sabil Allah bil mal, that is infaq. Jihad fi sabil Allah bil nafs, the final stage is qital. When you go, risking your life. You go to the field of battle, risking your life. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ The similitude or likeliness of those who spend and expend their money and wealth for the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah. كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ To the likeness of a grain which grows 7 years. To كُلَّ سُمْبُلَةٍ مِيَةُ حَبَّةٍ And each and every year there are 100 grains. So one grain of wheat, now the plant, in that are 7 years, and in every year there are 100 grains. So one grain has grown into 700 grains. The same is the similitude that if you spend for the cause of Allah, your reward will be 700 times at least. Why at least? Because Allah says, but now you buy for the Mayasha. Allah will double it for whomsoever he wishes. It can be 1400 times. But that is as the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man yasha. Wallahu yudhaifu liman yasha. For whomsoever he pleases or wills, he will double it. Wallahu wasi'un aleem. And Allah is all embracing, all knowing. Alladheena yunfiquna amwalahum fi sabeelillahi thumma la yutbi'una ma anfaqu mannan wala adha. Those who spend their wealth and money fi sabilillah in the way of Allah, summa la yutbi'una ma anfaqu, then that they don't follow what they have expended with reproach and injury. And the other meaning may be by reminding of charity and generosity. Anyhow, you know, this infaq fi sabilillah, some person will be benefiting and it will come in the end, inshallah, who they should be. Let me explain here, so that it becomes clear through all this discussion. When there is a struggle, a revolutionary movement to establish the deen of Allah, to make it supreme, there must be certain people who become whole-time workers. Otherwise, it won't work. Part-time workers cannot bring about a revolution. Part time work can be a social service. Part time work can be this type of thing, you know. Some education, some training, some social service. Some revolutionary purpose. You must have people who are whole time, whole hearted, devoted fully. Otherwise there can be no revolution. Now these people who will support them? They must be fed. They must be looked after. Who will support them? That is why in the end of these two sections you will find who has the right of this infaq fi sabilillah. Who are the best to whom this infaq should be given? Those who have devoted all of their life, all of their time, all of their energies to the cause of Allah. Now they have no spare time, no spare energy to spend, to earn their own livelihood. They must be supported through this infaq fi sabilillah. And now if you have given something to such a person, and now you are mentioning it to him, this is injury. This is actually azab. You have given something to them, and then you are mentioning it, and you are impressing them more and more by your generosity. So that is very painful for them. Very hurting for them. That is the thing that is discussed here. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنَّمْ وَلَا أَذَى. Man, that is, to mention your charity and generosity. وَلَا أَذَى. No injury to their feelings of self-respect and self-honor. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ. For them is their reward in the Rabbihim with their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And there will be no fear on them and nor will they grieve. قَالُمْ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا عَذَابٌ. A kind word and forgiveness is much better than charity followed by injury. You give something to somebody and then you injure his feelings. You injure his sense of self-respect, self-honor. The better thing would have been, you should have said some kind word to him and then asked his pardon and forgiveness. A kind word and forgiveness are better than charity followed by injury. Wallahu ghaniyyun haleem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient. He doesn't need your help. He can feel and support his supporters. It's only the test for you that he has given you surplus wealth, whether you spend it for the cause of Allah or not. It's only a testing for you. Allah is not poor. Allah can support his supporters. Allah can maintain his armies himself. But you know, he's testing you. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ. Allah is self-sufficient and he's forbearing. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O you who believe, do not render vain your charity by mentioning your generosity and by injuring the feelings of those to whom you have given that charity. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَعَلَهُ رِيَعَ النَّاسِ. In the same way as that person who is spending his money to show off to the people. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Whosoever is giving his money and spending his wealth to show off to the people so that they should praise him, he has no iman on Allah. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He doesn't have any faith in Allah, nor does he believe in the last day. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ. So his similitude or likeness is to the likeness of a very smooth rock, alayhi turabun, on it was, some dust was there. Someone, he cultivated in that dust, he put some seeds in that dust. Now a crop was there. He was hoping to have the harvest, but suddenly, fasabahu wabilun, a very strong and heavy rain fell and left it bare. Now everything was washed off because the clay was very shallow. Beneath it was very smooth rock. And on that shallow clay, you had cultivated and put the seed, and now the harvest was there. It has no roots. When a strong and heavy rain fell, everything was washed off. And now the rock was there, bare. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. They have no control for which they labored. They labored so much, they cultivated, they spent, they put the seed there, but now everything is gone, and they can have no control over any of their labor that they spent there. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. This is the symbol of who is spending their money or wealth only to show off their generosity to the people. Not real iman, or in the hereafter, they are not doing so sincerely for Allah and His pleasure. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't guide such people who are denying and who are denying the real faith. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. The same principle of simultaneous contrast. They are opposed to such people which we have discussed before. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. The likeliness or similitude of those people who spend their money only to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَفْدِيتًا مِنَ الْفُسِهِمْ. And they want strengthening of their own souls. I am spending so that Allah may be pleased and my spirit may be purified. Dual purpose can be there. You are spending for the cause of Allah so that Allah is pleased and your own soul, your own ruh, your own spirit is purified. Tazkiya. That is why for this ibadah, for this mode of worship, particular mode of worship in which you give your money, that is called zakah, purifying him. It purifies the souls of the people. Tasbeeta min al-fusihim. Whosoever is spending their money in this way, for pleasing Allah and purification of their and strengthening of their souls, their example is kamathali jannatin lirabbatin. Example or simile of a garden which is on a raised place. Asabaha wabilun. If there is strong rain, heavy rain, fa'atatukulaha, they said, that garden gives the fruit twice, twofold. Fa'in lam yusibha wabilun. If there is not very heavy rain, faqal, then a small drizzle will also benefit the garden. The fruit will be there, anyhow. The garden will not be washed away with the strong rain, because it is not on a smooth rock. It is there on a raised platform. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And whatever you are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing it. أَيَمَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ. Does anybody amongst you like أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ. That there may be for him a garden مِنْ نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. In that garden there may be the date palms and the grapes, the vines. تَدْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. Beneath that garden there are streams are flowing. لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. In that garden for him there are all types of food. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ. And now old age has overtaken him. So it is a simile. Just imagine a person, a very old person, he worked very hard, he cultivated plants, he prepared a garden, now he has a garden of date palms, then there are the orchards and the vines, and everything is there, water is flowing, all sorts of fruits are there, and now the old age has overtaken him. And he, his progeny, his sons and daughters are weaklings, very young in age, they need protection. So asabaha esari. Suddenly on some day, some occasion, a fiery whirlwind comes, strikes that garden, fahtarafat, and the whole garden got burned up. Kazalika, yubayyinu Allahu lakum al-ayat la'allakum tatafakkarun. In this way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his ayat plain for you, clear for you, so that you may ponder over them, you may reflect over them. Now this is actually simply what is the lesson in it. A person has been doing charity and doing everything Suddenly when he will be raised from the dead, he will find I have done nothing, because I was not sincere. Whatever I was doing only to get good name, good praise from the people, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever is doing any good work, any charity, for riyaul nas, to show off to the people, he will find himself in the position of that old person whose whole life hard labor has gone in one incident. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikril hakim.